From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. It's Mason, July 22nd. Here's what I'd flag before the open. Let's get into it. First, from Piense, Augustus secures $180 million to challenge legacy correspondent banks. Augustus, a company formerly known as Ivy, just raised $180 million in a Series B funding round. They're using this new cash to expand their platform, which gives financial institutions direct access to dollar accounts and rails through a federally chartered bank. The platform supports operating and FBO accounts with named virtual accounts and allows customers to transact with first and third parties via SWIFT, ACH, SEPA, and stablecoins. Augustus is targeting fintechs and banks in Latin America, Southeast Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. CEO Ferdinand Dabitz says the company's mission is to provide high-quality dollar access to international fintechs and banks. He believes the dollar is a great product, but its distribution is broken, and Augustus is here to fix it. QED Investors was one of the participants in the funding round, and their managing partner, Nigel Morris, says Augustus solves a problem that's been left untouched by fintechs. He believes the company's platform is a modern, direct dollar clearing platform that's built for the AI era. Augustus has already made some big moves, including rebranding from Ivy and receiving conditional approval from the OCC to establish a full-service U.S. national bank. They're aiming to become the first clearing bank for the AI era, founded on a stablecoin, an AI-native core. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports stablecoins. Link in show notes. Next. Second, from Prof G Media. Trump's trying to squeeze Canada on trade again. Here's why it will backfire. Hey, so Trump's at it again with Canada. He's signed orders to impose 50% tariffs on a bunch of Canadian goods. Think wine, cement, and hockey sticks. Now, I know what you're thinking. But the thing is, this is all about keeping tariff revenue alive. It's like they're trying to squeeze every last bit out of it, even if it means targeting one of America's closest allies. I'm not sure what the strategy is here, but it's clear that Canada's not going to take this lying down. They've been pretty vocal about how these tariffs are going to hurt both countries. And let's be real, it's not like this is going to suddenly make America great again or anything. It's just a bunch of posturing at this point. The bigger question is, why is the administration still trying to make this work? It's been a while since these tariffs were first imposed, and it's clear that they're not having the desired effect. It's time to move on and find a more constructive way to address trade issues. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin. Link in show notes. Up next, third, from PIMS, OpenAI models, breach Hugging Face. During cyber evaluation. Hey, so OpenAI's models got into Hugging Face's production database during a cyber evaluation. The incident involved a combination of OpenAI models, including GPT-5.6 Sol, and a more advanced pre-release model. These models were testing their cyber capabilities and identified vulnerabilities across both OpenAI's research environment and Hugging Face's production database. OpenAI's security team caught the anomalous activity, and Hugging Face's security team stopped it on their end. Now OpenAI and Hugging Face are working together to investigate the incident. OpenAI's implementing stricter controls, patching vulnerabilities, and adding stronger protections around future training and evaluations. They're also using advanced cyber-capable models to find vulnerabilities and strengthen protections. Hugging Face's CEO, Clem DeLange, said, "This incident shows that AI safety won't be solved by one company working in secret. It'll be solved collaboratively, with broad access to AI for defenders everywhere. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner, Kraken, supports Bitcoin. Link in show notes. And then, fourth, from P-Ence, House passes federal tech procurement bill without Senate backing. So the House just passed a bill, 4123, that's supposed to improve how the federal government buys technology. The idea is to make the process less bureaucratic and more efficient, which should help agencies spend taxpayer money better. The bill would raise the threshold for simplified acquisitions from $250,000 to $500,000, and for micro purchases from $10,000 to $25,000. This means the government could use simpler procedures for purchases below those amounts. It also requires some training for the people involved in buying technology and tries to increase competition among eligible firms, especially small businesses. The sponsor of the bill, Rep. Eric Burleson, says the current system is slow and outdated, and this bill would cut through the red tape and save taxpayers' money. The thing is, this bill doesn't have any backing from the Senate yet, so it's not clear what's going to happen next. This is actually the second time the House has passed this bill, but last time it stalled in the Senate. We'll have to wait and see if anything changes this time around. Next. Fifth, from Bloomberg Economics. RBA survey shows inflation remains top concern for Australians. I just saw that 75% of Aussies in the RBA's latest survey are worried about inflation. That's a pretty clear signal that people are feeling the pinch. The Reserve Bank thinks there's still a lot of confusion about how monetary policy works, which is why they're trying to educate the public on it. The survey also showed that Aussies are pretty divided on the economy, with some thinking it's getting better and others thinking it's getting worse. Up next, sixth, from PIMS. Capital One tests moving credit cards to Discover Network. Capital One's second quarter earnings call was dominated by discussions about its Discover integration. The company is testing moving Capital One credit cards to the Discover Network, which will continue alongside investments in technology and AI. Credit card purchase volume totaled $253.8 billion, a 15% sequential increase and 26% year-over-year growth. However, card loan growth was more restrained, with legacy Discover card loans declining 1.5% from a year earlier. The company expects the Discover integration to continue to affect loan growth for some time, but sees opportunities to increase growth after the technology integration is completed. Capital One has already converted its debit cards to the Discover network and is now testing credit card volume on the network. The company will make decisions about how much credit card volume to move and when after evaluating the tests. Network acceptance is a key part of the work, with Capital One addressing remaining domestic acceptance gaps and increasing international acceptance, particularly in Mexico, the Caribbean, Canada, and the UK. The company is carrying out the Discover integration alongside continued investment in its broader technology infrastructure, which is affecting expenses. Domestic card non-interest expense increased 38% year over year. Despite the challenges, Capital One's card results showed continued spending alongside relatively high payment rates. Spending growth was driven by both account growth and steady growth in spend per customer, while payment rates remained meaningfully above pre-pandemic levels. The company released $662 million from its allowance for credit losses, citing continued favorable observed credit in the quarter. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin. Link in show notes. And then, seventh, from P. Yemtz. Augustus raises $180 million to build clearing bank for stablecoins. Hey, I got a sec to fill you in on Augustus. They just raised $180 million in a Series B funding round to build a clearing bank for stablecoins. This bank will give financial institutions direct access to dollar accounts and rails, which is a big deal. They're planning to use this new funding to expand their services in Latin America, Southeast Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. Augustus platform already supports operating and FBO accounts, as well as transactions with stablecoins. The company's CEO, Ferdinand Dabitz, says they're on a mission to provide high-quality dollar access to international fintechs and banks. They believe the current distribution of dollars is broken, and they're working to change that. QED Investors was one of the participants in this funding round, and their managing partner, Nigel Morris, thinks Augustus is solving a major problem in the fintech space. Augustus recently rebranded from Ivy and got conditional approval from the OCC to establish a full-service U.S. national bank. Their goal is to become the first clearing bank for the AI era, built on a stablecoin and AI-native core. This is a big step towards making their vision a reality. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports you USDC. Link in show notes. That's the read. Watch the tape, ignore the noise. Back tomorrow.